Good morning. Where is everybody at? Would you join me this morning in prayer? Gracious and holy God, we thank you for this day and your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that we have available to each and every person in this whole world that is available through you, Lord, because of you. And we thank you for that. And we have gathered here this morning to worship you, to praise you, to learn and grow. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Continue to open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. A reminder, prayer cards are in front of you. Pull those out, fill them out, and then we'll gather those up in a few minutes. They will be laid up here across the kneelers, in front of the kneelers, and then you can come up and get one and take and pray for it throughout the week. They will also be put online so that you can see them there as well. So you can see them at home as well and here. So, Tom. It'll work. Good morning. We've been looking at, as we said earlier, forgiveness, and we're going to look at it again today, and we're going to finish up with the Lord's Prayer today. So we're going to move beyond that. But we talked about letting go, that forgiveness is a letting go, and that carrying unforgiveness in our hearts can tire us out. And it also how it bleeds into all the other parts of our lives. It can make us, what's the word we use nowadays? A little snarky. And that's not the same as being hangry. There's a difference. One you can solve with a little bit of food, but that stuff that you carry in your heart, it's got to be let go. And you can't focus on it. You can't go backwards. We talked about these things. There's a verse that I found in Leviticus that I thought you should hear this morning. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, because that's where it all comes from, right? It's our hearts. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Where have we heard that before? Okay? And then it finishes with, I am the Lord. The Lord tells us things. We cannot carry a grudge. We're to let go of that anger. We're to release it. Now, we looked at last week how forgiveness ties in with the Scout Law. Last Sunday was Scout Sunday, and we looked at how that some of those things tie into that. And how the enemy tempts us to unforgiveness. That he tempts us to not forgive, right? What does it say? For if you, pardon me, 13, and do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're praying in that prayer that we would not, that the enemy would be done away with, that would be, that he would help us, that God would help us to release that. Don't let us be tempted. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the idea that we can't forgive. All right? Because we can. The enemy wants you to carry that grudge. He wants you to become bitter so that it comes out in everything that you say. Everybody can see it. Maybe you can't, but other people can sense when you're carrying bitterness and anger within your heart. He wants us in that place so that we can't love as we're called to. That we cannot love as we're called to. Unforgiveness is a sin, plain and simple, all right? And sin separates. So your prayers, because of that sin, that unforgiveness, go unanswered. Because you have placed the sin of unforgiveness between you and God. You have placed it there. You've decided to leave it there. You're not going to forgive. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do it. So you place it there. And then you wonder why, we wonder why, our prayers go unanswered or unheard, or it feels that way. And if your focus is on the offense, as I said, you cannot move forward in your relationships, both with God and with your neighbor. It's hard. The psalmist warns us in 66:18. We're talking about this morning in our discipleship class. This is what it says. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Okay, we understand what it says a little bit, and then I'm looking through different translation. And the Amplified puts it in a way that's easier for us to understand. If I regard sin and baseness in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. That's as plain as I could find it. Unforgiveness can become wickedness when it is cherished, held on to, justified, or nurtured. This is what we're told here. If you forgive other people for their offenses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if, there's that fork in the road, right? You get to choose. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. How much plainer can it be? If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. It's right there. As long as you're breathing in and out, you have the opportunity to forgive. To forgive. I'm going to read the whole thing in what we've been looking at, verses 12 through 15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we have to forgive in a way, not the way we always forgive. We can't ignore. We can't just avoid. I don't want God avoiding me. I don't want God ignoring me. We've got to forgive from our hearts. So that's how we want God to forgive us. That's the way we need to forgive. That's the way God forgave us. So we need to forgive in the same way. Going on. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, which I talked to you already. For if you forgive other people for their offenses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. Now, the rabbinic teaching was right with what Jesus is saying here. Until he gets to that point where he explains, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Up to that point, that would have been pretty much what they would teach in forgiveness. And then they would sacrifice the animals and that would cover it in under the Old Testament. But we're not under the law. In Ephesians 4, we are told to remove all bitterness, wrath, anger, and malice. I have to do that. And I will tell you that in and of myself, I'm not going to do it. Because sometimes I like being angry. Sometimes I like holding on to that. But through the power of the Spirit, we are enabled and empowered and told we must forgive. So I have to set that down and not make it my focus, not keep going back to it, but walk away from it and leave it for God to take care of. And if there's something that needs to be taken care of, he's great at doing that. Just let him take care of it. Let him take care of it. You see, those things, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, and the malice, those things will keep us from having a relationship with God and, as I said, our neighbor. And all this comes back to that. I don't want to see anyone separated from God. Not here. And I want to see you all in heaven. I want to see you on the other side. I want to go over and knock on your door and say, hey, how do you like the house? Hey, those streets are pretty neat, right? Gold? All the things. I want to see us all there. We've got to let go of the things that make us bitter and angry. We've got to release them. Hebrews 12 tells us that bitterness defiles. Okay? And I was looking at this morning, but I'm going to read it to you from out of Hebrews 12. Pursue peace with all people and the holiness which, without which no one will see the Lord. You can't be holy and holding on to something that's not, that's separating you from God. Going on, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Holding unforgiveness in your heart is sin and will defile your heart. Now, remember, we talked about this morning. Your heart, biblically speaking, is what causes you to do everything that you do. It's what motivates you to do the things you do. If your heart is defiled, what in your heart comes out your mouth, Jesus said, right? It's going to show up. People are going to see it. We need to let go of those things. Also, unforgiveness contradicts God's character and His commands. We're not reflecting Christ and the forgiveness we've been shown. Now, talking through hurt or offense is a good way to bring healing to your own heart. Don't confuse trying to bring healing with gossip. Don't confuse trying to bring healing, well, I just want other people to know. No, that's gossip, and you can't do that. Gossip is a sin. But if you're doing it with the intent of healing, then it's a good thing. But rehearsing the hurt, going back to it, rehearsing the hurt, going over what was done to you and bad-mouthing the other party or party is not healthy and will not bring the healing and the forgiveness that is needed and required and commanded by God. And we can all be guilty of it. It's real easy to slip into that because the enemy wants us to do that. So we have to watch for that all the time. True forgiveness is letting go of the offense, not gossiping, not whining, not griping, and not complaining about the other or others who did or didn't do whatever it was, no matter what they did or didn't do. If you don't have anything kind to say, don't say anything at all. My mom used to tell me that all the time. If you don't have anything kind to say, don't say anything. And that's real easy to say. Not always hard, but not always easy to do. It's sometimes very hard to do. In forgiving others, you are reflecting God's character. God is loving and merciful and forgiving. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. He's the one that initiated it. But understand this about unforgiveness, okay? Unforgiveness as a struggle is not the same as unforgiveness as wickedness. Unforgiveness as a struggle is something that I'm struggling with. It's an ongoing process. Some people can forgive and flip the switch. Okay? It's over and done with. Water under the bridge. Some of us are struggling with forgiving them, and it has to be a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. I choose to forgive this person. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I'm going to move forward with my life. What they did is water under the bridge. And you may have to tell yourself that a dozen times. It's not easy. But if you're struggling, it's not the same as holding on to it because you want to. You're trying to release it. You're trying to let it go. It's a struggle. Now, struggling with forgiveness, that's human, right? Wrestling through pain, that's being honest. You're talking about somebody else, you're wrestling through it. Needing time to forgive, again, that's normal. These things are normal. asking for God for help, that's obedience. I'm struggling here, Lord. And it's not those, we're gonna use 94 again. It's not those people that do things that and go away, cut you off in traffic or whatever, smash your bread as they throw it into the, those things we can forgive pretty easy or we'll move past them. It's those things in our relationships with our neighbor, whoever your neighbor happens to be at any given moment, that we struggle with, that we have to choose to forgive. So you see, wickedness is when someone says, I refuse to forgive. I'm justified in holding on to this. I will not let this offense go. I have a grudge against them, and I will carry it. You don't understand. Doesn't matter whether I understand. What's God understand in this? What's He say to do with it? Set it down. Go to the altar. Come to me. I will help you. It's what He's telling us. Right? Now, as we have found out over the last two Sundays, Scripture never gives us an excuse to not forgive, just like we're commanded to. It never gives us an excuse for that. To forgive is to show the love of God, the love that is poured into our hearts, into the hearts of the justified by the Holy Spirit given to us. Plain and simple. The love of God is being poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit given to us. Romans 5:5, one of my favorite verses. Because sometimes I need to remember that. So we need to do that. It is the Spirit that enables and empowers us to forgive and to seek reconciliation. Now, reconciliation and forgiveness are two different animals. Two different things. God's word, now He does give us the clear command to forgive. It also gives us several clear biblical reasons not to be reconciled. Now, before I go any further, don't make mountains out of molehills. Don't try to justify your unforgiveness because of something that was done. We're going to deal with the reasons, the biblical reasons for not being reconciled, for not pursuing reconciliation. I'll get the word out eventually. First, we're going to deal with those things first. Reconciliation is conditional and mutual, right? Two parties reconcile. God's word gives multiple legitimate reasons reconciliation may not happen. The other person refuses to forgive or repent because it takes two parties, right? Doesn't mean you can't forgive, just means you may not be able to reconcile at this time. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, real quick. Now, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that on the testimony of two or three witnesses, every matter may be confirmed. There has to be a witness to what happened, not just somebody along the road that agrees with you. You can't shop for witnesses. Going on. And if he refuses to listen to them, to the two or three plus yourself, tell it to the church. Doesn't mean you get up front and tell everybody, okay? It means you go to the board or somebody and say, there's a problem here. I'm trying to get it reconciled, and my brother or sister in Christ or my neighbor or whoever it happens to be is not cooperating. What am I supposed to do? Then let the church handle it, right? going on before I forget where I'm at. And if he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, he is to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. I've tried. I'm going to move on. Right? Romans 12 tells us never repay evil for evil. Never repay evil for evil or insult for insult. I'm adding to that one that's from 1 Peter. But never repay evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all people, if possible, as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, I've tried and it's not working. It may take time. It may be a struggle for the other person. You need to let it go until it's time. When God nudges you again to go try to seek reconciliation, that's when you go. Not in your own timing and not because someone else has said, you need to get this fixed. It needs to be fixed if you're making mountains out of molehills, to use a quote. Now, you can't be reconciled to someone who does not want to reconcile the problem or to seek restoration of the relationship or who does not wish to be at peace with you. As far as it depends on you, live at peace, right? If trust has been broken, it may take time to be reconciled on both parties. If time is asked for, then grant it with grace and mercy and love, so that trust can be rebuilt. Takes time. Then there is the fact that some relationships can be unsafe. The person is violent or abusive, physically, mentally, emotionally. Again, don't make mountains out of molehills. Proverbs 22:24 warns us not to make friends with an angry person or to go with a hot-tempered person. Nor are we to put ourselves back into a position that reconciliation would enable sin. You can figure those out for yourself. In 1 Corinthians 5, we are told not to associate with a sexually immoral person or a greedy person or an idolater or one who is verbally abusive or habitually drunk or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a person. You're not to invite those people in. Be careful with them. Now, we have looked at the reasons not to seek reconciliation. Let's look at why we should. Because I think this is more important. That's why I saved it to last. You see, I'm one of these people that I'm going to eat the thing that I don't like first. And then I'll have my steak or my, I want to have the best. So that's the way we're going to look at this. First and foremost, God sought reconciliation with us. No one ever asked for it. He sought it out. He sought a way. And he made a way through the cross. He wanted to have a relationship with us to restore what was lost at the fall, to go back to when he walked with us in the cool of the day. Go read Genesis. I think it's chapter 3. Okay? God walked with us in the cool of the day. He wants to walk with us today. So he made a way. He wants a relationship with each and every person that's out there. Of all his creation, we are the only ones that he formed with his hands and breathed life into. He wants a relationship with you today and forever. He wants to spend an eternity with you. Think about that. God went out of his way to come to Jamie and offer forgiveness, to make a way so that Jamie and Jan and all of us could have relationship with him. That's awesome and mighty. That's how much God loves you. That to me just blows my mind. Remember, we have to build trust, right? So sometimes it's going to take time for you and for that other person. And again, they may be ready and you're not, or you may be ready and they're not. In Colossians 1, 19 through 23, which I had marked, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus, in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And although you were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His body of flesh through death in order to present you before Him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if you indeed continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. There's that word again. Huge word, two letters. If. A fork in the road. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. It's not always easy. We are told that we are ministers of reconciliation, right? 2 Corinthians, which I'm going to read to you in a minute, and ambassadors for Christ. It would be very hypocritical not to seek reconciliation in our relationships while seeking to bring reconciliation between God and those who do not know Him. 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 14. For the love of Christ, the love that's poured into our hearts, right? For the love of Christ controls us. We have to figure that out. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and He died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose on their behalf. Therefore, from now on we recognize no one by the flesh, even though we know Christ by the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. There's the example. We don't count their wrongdoings. We let them go. We release them. Going on. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin, sin on in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Going on to chapter 6, because this is important. And working together with Him, He's working with us. We have the Holy Spirit enabling and powering us. And working together with Him, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the favorable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no reason for taking offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. We discredit the ministry that we have with God when we withhold forgiveness. And reconciliation cannot take place unless there is or has been forgiveness. You can't reconcile and then forgive. It's got to be forgiveness and reconciliation. I think the two of the biggest things that keep us from seeking reconciliation, and I mentioned this before, but it bears mentioning again, are pride and fear. Pride and fear. Now, that can be on one side or the other, either one or both. And that's one of those things that needs to be worked through. Fear can be irrational, blown out of proportion to what really happened, or it can just be where you are, afraid that it will happen again. I don't want to put myself back in that position. And so we struggle. We struggle to forgive and we struggle to reconcile. Can you imagine what God went through in that situation? How many times he's put himself back in that position? And yet what? If we confess our sin, he forgives. How many times? 7 times 7. Right? That's what Jesus said to do. Completion times completion. Forever we are to forgive. The enemy of our souls tempts us to stay unreconciled. He wants friends and family distrusting and fearful, separated, so he keeps reminding us of the past hurt or offense. Right there, right? Keep focused on that. That's what they did to you. That's what was said. That's what I saw. Maybe your perception wasn't quite the way it actually happened. Maybe you're blowing something out of proportion. Maybe. We need to look at it. We need to stop and remind ourselves that it could be a little different from the way we're remembering it. Perception plays into that. And sometimes it's to the point where we have made it worse, like I said, than it actually was, so that we can rationalize why we can't forgive or seek reconciliation. Our perception of the incident, whatever it was, makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference. Sometimes we blow things that weren't even meant or what we took offense. Remember, we have to take offense to something that was never even said or done, or we just felt that way. Okay? And maybe you go to the other person and I don't know what you're talking about. I apologize or whatever. Do you have to let go of it? Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Oh, don't put Jesus in this, Pastor. But that's what he did. Because he understood that sometimes we don't know what we're doing. So we need to give that grace to others. God never gave up on us. He has never given up on us. And he was not above humbling himself to bring about reconciliation. Oh, but pride has to go. I'm sorry. We have to humble ourselves. God the Son emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. There's that word. God said forgive, so we have to forgive. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. I have to humble myself to the point that I have to put self to death. I have to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. But I don't want to. We can argue this all day. We know that we fight with it. We know that we wrestle with forgiveness. It's a fact of every human being. And yet God calls us to forgive as he forgave. Pride gets in the way of forgiveness and reconciliation, period. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 8:13 tells us, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. That's what it says. Pride and arrogance. I'm right, you're wrong. And that's the way we get it. We get stuck there. And we know that our God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Reconciliation brings healing to a relationship. And possibly restoration to what it was. Or it could be better. Or it could just be different. Are we willing to forgive and seek reconciliation? Because no matter what, we are ministers of reconciliation. And we are to reflect the love of God in seeking forgiveness and that reconciliation, just like he did. Are you willing this morning to not only forgive, but to seek reconciliation with whatever it is going on in your life, with whomever it may be? Are you willing to come to the Lord this morning and ask for the strength that you need so that you're not led into that temptation, but delivered from the evil, or as some of your translations say, from the evil one? Are you willing to do that? Because I know that in and of myself, I need help to forgive sometimes. I have to seek God's strength. Are you willing to do that this morning? As the praise team comes up and finishes up, or as praise team person comes up, we're gonna close with the song Forgiveness. I want you to really look at the words. Because forgiveness is sometimes a struggle, as is reconciliation. But we have to pursue it as best we can. And I know there are times that we just can't. Sometimes it's even when somebody that we need to forgive has moved on to the other side, has passed. Doesn't mean you can't forgive them. You won't be reconciled this side of heaven. But if you forgive them here, and they've already forgiven you, isn't it time to seek that reconciliation as much as you can? Oh, yes. The forgiveness words, thank you very much. The words of the song are in your worship folder, but I want you to look at the screen because I had to shorten some of that so I could fit it on there. But I want you to take those words home with you and read them over. Okay, we're just not, it's not repeating the chorus as much in that. But we need to forgive. So would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Almighty God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil, Lord, of unforgiveness, of holding that in our heart, because, Lord, it separates us from you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to forgive as you forgive. To help us to be those ministers of reconciliation, especially in our own lives. Help us to be, Lord, what you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I was making sure you turned me back on. God loves you. I have no other words to tell you, but God loves you. That he sent his son to die for you. And then what he asks in return? Forgive as I have forgiven you. If you're struggling, you're struggling. That's not a bad thing. Just seek to keep forgiving and seek that forgiveness because it's been given to you. And you're offering it just like it's been offered to you. And if they don't accept it, As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we praise and thank you for the gift of forgiveness and eternal life that is found in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot give you enough praise for the cross, Lord. The cross that saved us from our sin. A cross, Lord, that brought reconciliation to the most hard-hearted and unforgiving. And yet, Lord, no matter what we do, all we have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. And you forgive us. How awesome is that? And even when others don't or haven't sought that forgiveness, let us offer it to them. Let us forgive them, Lord, and move forward in our relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for this time together we're about to share in, this time of fellowship. We thank you for the food. We praise you, Lord, for your many blessings. Continue to lead us, Lord, and convict us when it's needed, for that too is your grace. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.